So Father will expose Jesus in on the altar. We'll do the O Salutaris, which is the first thing on this sheet. And then we will process out of the church, down Wallingford, around the school, and back into the church. If you desperately need to leave at that point, I don't think anybody's going to, you know, look badly at you, but Mass technically will not be over. We'll come back into the church. We'll finish the bit of adoration with the rest of the stuff that's on your sheet, and then we will leave. Okay, so procession will be at the end, down around the school, back in here, and then we will finish Mass in here. So just, I know it's a little bit of a curveball, but I think it'll be really beautiful. So if you don't have one of these sheets, at the end of Mass, find someone who does and share. And we will begin Mass just in a few moments here. Thank you.
Please stand.
Praise we Christ, whose blood was shed.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And with your spirit.
My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, today we join the Universal Church in celebrating the solemnity of the most holy body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. The feast, which is popularly known by its Latin name, Corpus Christi. We'd like to reaffirm our belief in Jesus, who chose to live among us in a special way through the Holy Eucharist. And now, to prepare ourselves to celebrate these sacred mysteries, let us call to mind our sins and ask the Lord for his mercy and pardon. I confess
Almighty God, and to you, my brothers and sisters, that I have greatly sinned in my thoughts and in my words, in what I have done and what I have failed to do, through my fault, through my most grievous fault. Therefore I ask Blessed Mary, the Virgin, of all the angels and saints, and to you, my brothers and sisters, to pray for me to the Lord.
May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to everlasting life. Let us pray. Our God, who in this wonderful sacrament have left us a memorial of your passion, grant us, we pray, so to revere the sacred mysteries of your body and blood, that we may always experience in ourselves the fruits of your redemption, who live and reign with God the Father, in unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever. Now, may I invite all the children who would like to participate in the children's liturgy to please come forward. Dear catechists, receive this book of the Word of God, which has been entrusted to you to teach these children. And you, my dear children, you will now go forward to praise God in word and song. We will await your return so that together we can celebrate the Holy Eucharist. Go in peace.
A reading from the book of Deuteronomy. Moses said to the people, "Remember how for 40 years now the Lord your God has directed all of your journeying in the desert, so as to test you by affliction, and find out whether or not it was your intention to keep his commandments. He therefore let you be afflicted with hunger, and then fed you with manna, a food unknown to you and your fathers, in order to show you that not by bread alone does one live, but by every word that comes forth from the mouth of the Lord. Do not forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, that place of slavery, who guided you through the vast and terrible desert with its seraph, serpents, and scorpions, its parched and waterless ground, who brought forth water for you from the flinty rock and fed you in the desert with manna, a food unknown to your fathers." The word of the Lord.
Praise the Lord, Jerusalem, alleluia. Praise the Lord, Jerusalem, alleluia. Glorify the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise our God, O Zion. For he has strengthened the bars of your gates. He has blessed your children within you. Praise the Lord, Jerusalem. Alleluia. He has granted peace in your borders. With the best of wheat he fills you. He sends forth his command to the earth. Swiftly runs the word. Praise the Lord, Jerusalem. Alleluia. He has proclaimed his word to Jacob, his statutes and his ordinances to Israel. He has not done thus for any other nation. His ordinances he has not made known them. Alleluia. Praise the Lord, Jerusalem. Alleluia.
A reading from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brothers and sisters, the cup of blessing that we bless, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ? The bread that we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? Because the loaf of bread is one, we, though many, are one body, for we all partake of the one loaf. The word of the Lord.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to the Jewish crowds, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world. The Jews quarreled among themselves, saying, How can this man give us his flesh to eat? Jesus said to them, Amen, amen, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you do not have life within you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him.
Just as the living Father sent me, and I have life because of the Father, so also the one who feeds on me will have life because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Unlike your ancestors who ate and still died, whoever eats this bread will live forever. The Gospel of the Lord. I said at the introduction of this Mass that today we are celebrating a special feast, the solemnity of the most holy body and blood of Christ. This basically is a feast that celebrates our belief in the real presence of Jesus in the Holy Eucharist. Because as Catholics, we believe that Jesus is truly present in the Eucharist. When we come forward for Holy Communion, what we receive in our hands or on our tongue is not just a memorial of the Last Supper. It's not just a symbol of what Jesus did during his last meal, but rather it's Jesus himself who chose to live among us in a special way in the Holy Eucharist. Now, we are celebrating this solemnity on this particular Sunday, despite the fact that we celebrate the Eucharist on each and every Sunday. But this is specifically dedicated to this teaching, the doctrine of the real presence. And the institution of this feast has its own history. The feast itself was instituted as for the Universal Church in 1264 by Pope Urban IV. And there was a reason that led to this institution. Just last night I was talking to Father Parish and he shared with me that last year, was that in June, he led a pilgrimage to Italy, and actually one of the shrines that the parishioners visited is actually connected to the institution of this feast. I'm told we visited, those that accompanied Father Parish, they visited the shrine in Bozena. In 1263, there was something remarkable that happened over there. A German priest was on his way to Rome for a pilgrimage. The reason being, he wanted to strengthen his faith because he experienced doubts every time he celebrated Mass. When he pronounced the words of consecration, may it become the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, he still doubted. He believed in God, but he doubted as to whether indeed the body becomes the bread becomes the body of Christ, and the wine really changes into the blood of Christ. So he felt like a hypocrite to pronounce the words that he did not believe in. Then he embarked on this pilgrimage. Now on his way, he stopped in Bozena, which was then a small town. And there was a famous shrine over there dedicated to St. Christina, the 4th century martyr. So as he was celebrating Mass, and the altar was just on top of the tomb of St. Christina, something remarkable happened. After pronouncing the words of consecration, and during the elevation of the consecrated host, he noticed that the consecrated bread became soft, and blood started dripping out. The blood soaked even the copper, which is the triangular piece of fabric that we place on the altar during consecration. In his confusion, he did not complete the Mass, so he left for the sacristy. But as he was walking, blood was still dripping from his hands. And the marks that we are left with those blood drops can still be seen up to this day. I'm sure those who went to Bozena on this pilgrimage can testify to that. So he went to the Pope, who at that time was living actually in the nearby city, the city of Oviedo, to confess his doubts in the Eucharist and also to explain to him what had just happened during the Mass he just celebrated. Pope Urban IV immediately sent a team of theologians, the most brilliant minds of the time. And among them were St. Thomas Aquinas and St. Bonaventure. They went to Bozena and examined the relics and held personal interviews with the parishioners that had attended Mass that day. That team of theologians concluded that what had happened was a miracle. So they took the relics to show the Pope. As they were leaving the city, the villagers started joining the procession. And the procession kept growing and growing. So that was the origin of the procession on Corpus Christi, the Eucharistic procession, which we are going to do today. Don't be scared. We're just going to go around the block, as it was announced at the beginning of this Mass. If you were living in Malawi, the procession alone is for 2 hours, in addition to the Mass, which is also very long. So it takes up like the whole morning. Before I left for this Mass, I was just talking to some friends back home. They had just finished their Masses. It's about 8 o'clock in Malawi right now in the evening. Now, when Pope Urban IV witnessed the miracle, he also remembered what had happened a few years back. There was a nun, we normally refer to him on the liturgical calendar as St. Juliana of Liege, which is the present-day Belgium. It is said St. Juliana was having visions from Jesus for about 20 years. The visions centered around, she could see the full moon, but with a black spot in between. Later on, Jesus himself revealed the meaning of these visions. The full moon referred to the liturgical year of the church, where we have different feasts like Christmas, Easter, or Pentecost, and the like. But then the black spot referred to the absence of an important feast, which is a special day dedicated towards the Eucharist. Yes, we celebrate the origin of the Eucharist, the institution of the Eucharist on Holy Thursday. But because the liturgy on Holy Thursday is also mixed with the Easter Triduum, the Passion and Death of Christ, there was need to have a special day to celebrate this mystery, the mystery of the Eucharist. So when St. Juliana was having these visions, she confided in her confessor, who by divine providence later on became Pope Urban IV. So the Pope married together the two stories, the visions of St. Juliana and the Eucharistic miracle at Bozena. Then he proclaimed the feast of the solemnity of the most holy body and blood of Christ in 1264. Now to celebrate this feast, he commissioned the theologians of the time to come up with the liturgy. How should it be celebrated? What should be the hymns that should be sung on this particular day? So he commissioned St. Thomas Aquinas, who is perhaps the most celebrated Christian theologian of all time, and then St. Bonaventure. On the appointed day, these theologians came before the Pope to read out their texts. The first to read was St. Thomas Aquinas. It is said that when St. Thomas was reciting the text for this particular feast, St. Bonaventure started tearing down his manuscripts, because what he had written could not compare with what St. Thomas Aquinas was reciting. It was as if the Holy Spirit himself was reciting what should be sung on Corpus Christi. We are lucky that the compositions of St. Thomas Aquinas have survived up to this day, and they are part of some of the most popular Catholic hymns that we sing up to this day. And today we are singing some of those hymns. We have already sung, the choir has led us in the sequence just before the gospel reading. That sequence was written over 700 years ago by St. Thomas Aquinas. As we'll be beginning our procession, the other hymn that we are going to sing, O Salutaris Hostia, which we sing during the exposition of the Blessed Sacrament, that's also another masterpiece of St. Thomas Aquinas. And we have the Tantum Ego, another hymn for adoration and benediction, which is another composition of St. Thomas Aquinas. And I'm also sure most of us also know the hymn Adoro Te, another hymn of St. Thomas Aquinas. He ended up coming up with these five famous hymns that we still sing up to this day. Now, the belief that Jesus is truly present in the Eucharist did not just come up in the year 1264 when Pope Urban instituted this particular feast. The Church teaches that Jesus is truly present in the Eucharist after learning from Christ himself. We will recall on Holy Thursday, when Christ instituted the Eucharist, he took bread, and after praying over it, after consecration, he identified that bread with his body. He handed it to his disciples. Take this and eat. It is my body, not bread. He did the same with a glass of wine. After praying over that wine, he said, take this and drink. It is not wine, but rather my blood. Do this in memory of me. So whenever you gather as my disciples, continue turning bread into my body, wine into my blood. That's the central teaching. And the Church has been faithful to this teaching for over 2,000 years. Every time we are celebrating the Eucharist, we repeat the same words that Jesus spoke during his last meal. Our gospel reading today is from John chapter 6, which is another allusion to Jesus, who is truly present in the Eucharist. It is the conclusion to the sign of the multiplication of the loaves. The other day I was preaching here, I said, when we read the Gospel of John, we notice that John refers to the miracles of Jesus, not with the word miracle, but rather with the term sign. So for example, when Jesus turned water into wine at the wedding at Cana, John says this was the first sign that Jesus performed. And then St. John goes on to list six other signs: the healing of the Roman official's son, the healing of the man who was paralyzed at the pool at Bethesda, the healing of the man who was born blind, Jesus walking on water, Then, of course, we have the multiplication of the loaves and raising Lazarus from the dead. Some of these stories, we read them during the Lenten season. And I did say, when I was preaching on this topic, I said, St. John uses the word sign because signs are not an end in themselves. Signs point to something else. So when we are at the airport, we see all these signs. They point us in a particular direction. They are not erected to be admired. They are not an end in themselves. Similarly, when St. John refers to the miracles of Jesus as signs, it means they are not presented for us just to admire them. That, oh, Jesus turned water into wine. Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. Jesus multiplied 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish to feed thousands of people. These are just signs that point to something else. So we have read the conclusion to the sign of the multiplication of the loaves, which began with Jesus taking 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. After praying over them, thousands and thousands of people were fed. But then the people did not understand what had just happened. They thought Jesus would be the best person to provide free meals. So they wanted to force Jesus to be their king. And Jesus disappeared from their midst. They found him the following day, teaching in the synagogue in Capernaum. And they said, "Master, where have you been? Everybody is looking for you." And Jesus responded by saying, "I know you are looking for me, not because you understood the sign of the multiplication of the loaves, but because I gave you a free dinner last night, and you want me to be giving you free dinner. But let me tell you something. Do not look for food that perishes. Rather, look for food that will take you to eternal life. And if you like, the Son of Man is the one who can give you this food. For he is the bread that came down from heaven." So it's a long chapter. Please, you can go and read John chapter 6. But we have read towards the very end of the chapter. So Jesus said, "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world." Then the Jews began quarreling among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" And Jesus said, "Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you do not have life within you." So what does that mean? Jesus was not talking about those people that were listening to him. He was doing something special, which will culminate in the institution of the Eucharist itself on Holy Thursday. So when we celebrate the Holy Eucharist, let us truly believe that it is the body and blood of Christ, and not doubt. So that should even influence the way we approach Holy Communion, the way we place our hands as we receive Holy Communion, the reverence that we must have before Jesus. Because the Eucharist is not just the commemoration of a historical event which happened 2,000 years ago. It is not just a symbol of the Last Supper. It is actually a real event. Finally, what does the Eucharist now mean for us? What does it mean to celebrate the Eucharist or to receive the Eucharist? I believe the Eucharist should transform our belief in the real presence of Jesus to make our lives align with this faith, even after the celebration. Because Jesus presented himself as the true food. As he said, "The Son of Man will give you this food, food that never perishes." And we can see that in our daily struggle, we crave for many things, beginning with food itself. We crave for success. We crave for wealth. We crave for fame. And the list can go on and on and on. And you notice that no matter how many things we can have, we will still long for more and more things. I did share with you this example. Coming from Malawi, one of the least developed countries in the world, to the United States, the most developed nation on earth, I thought when I come over here, I would just find people dancing on the streets, because since they have everything, then everything is rosy. But I noticed that people can be sad here. In the midst of everything that people have, that is a sign that we long for something else, somebody else. And the Eucharist stands for that, which is the true food. When we receive the Eucharist, when we accept Jesus with faith, then our longing is satisfied. St. Augustine said, Lord, you created us for yourselves, and our hearts are restless until they rest in you. Secondly, the Eucharist should help us to feel the presence of Jesus. Because although we are living in the most digitally connected era of our time, of human history, but we notice that people feel lonely. People are isolated. With the belief in the real presence of Jesus in the Eucharist, there is no need to feel lonely, to feel isolated. Let us pray today that we may be bonded together and not feel like enemies. Because during communion, all of us from different nationalities, supporting different political beliefs, will come forward in one line and receive this one body of Christ. Today, let us renew our devotion to Jesus, who chose to live among us in this special way, in the Blessed Sacrament.
I believe in one God,
Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, all things visible and invisible. I believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten not made, consubstantial with the Father. Through him all things were made, for us men and for our salvation. He came down from heaven. By the Holy Spirit, was incarnate the Virgin Mary. Amen. Our Savior was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried, and rose again on the third day, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended to heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is adored and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. I believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. I confess one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, and I look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Christ our Lord gives us his body and blood as real food and real drink, so that we may draw life from him. As one Eucharistic community, we now bring our prayers to our Father.
For Pope Leo, Archbishop Etienne, our auxiliary bishops, and all the clergy, including the two new priests ordained in the cathedral on June 6th, that God richly bless their ministry and offer this holy sacrifice with reverent devotion, we pray to the Lord. Lord, hear our prayer. For human society in the world today, that the social meaning of the Eucharist may inspire people to serve Christ in the poor, we pray to the Lord. Lord, hear our prayer. For deeper devotion to Jesus, really present in the Eucharist, that privately or in community, men, women, and children may come to adore him, we pray to the Lord. For ourselves at this altar, that we may truly form a single body as we share in Christ, the living bread from heaven, we pray to the Lord. For all the sick and the suffering, that Christ's presence provide comfort and healing, we pray to the Lord. For those nourished in this life by the Eucharist, that they may be raised up on the last day, especially Mary Ann Ash, we pray to the Lord.
Almighty God, be favorable to the prayers we offer. Accept them in union with the perfect prayer of your beloved Son, the one acceptable victim and eternal priest, who lives and reigns forever and ever.
Amen.
Thank you.
Pray now, my dear brothers and sisters in Christ, that my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God, the Almighty Father. Grant your church, O Lord, we pray, the gifts of unity and of peace, whose signs are to be seen in mystery, in the offerings we here present, through Christ our Lord. The Lord be with you.
And with your
spirit. Lift up your hearts.
Lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is
truly right and just, our duty and our salvation, always and everywhere to give you thanks, Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Eternal God, through Christ our Lord. For at the Last Supper, with his apostles, establishing for the ages to come the saving memorial of the cross, he offered himself to you as the unblemished Lamb, the acceptable gift of perfect praise, nourishing your faithful by this sacred mystery, you make them holy, so that the human race bounded by one world may be enlightened by one faith and united by one bond of charity. And so we approach the table of this wondrous sacrament, so that, bathed in sweetness of your grace, we may pass over to the heavenly realities here foreshadowed. Therefore, all creatures of heaven and earth, sing a new song in adoration, and we, with all the host of angels, cry out, and without end we acclaim. You are indeed holy, O Lord, the fount of all holiness. Make holy, therefore, these gifts, we pray, by sending down your Spirit upon them, like the dewfall, so that they may become for us the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. At the time he was betrayed and entered willingly into his passion, he took bread and, giving thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat of it. For this is my body, which will be given up for you." In a similar way, when supper was ended, he took the chalice, and once more giving thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and drink from it. For this is the chalice of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant, which will be poured out for you and for many, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in memory of me." the mystery of faith.
We proclaim your death, O Lord, and profess your resurrection until you come again.
Therefore, O Lord, as we celebrate the memory of his death and resurrection, we offer you, Lord, the bread of life and the chalice of salvation, giving thanks that you have heard us worthy to be in your presence and minister to you. Humbly we pray that partaking of the body and blood of Christ, we may be gathered into one by the Holy Spirit. Remember, Lord, your church spread throughout the world, and bring her to the fullness of charity, together with Leo, our Pope, and Paul, our Archbishop, Eusebio and Frank, our auxiliary bishops, and all the clergy. Remember also our brothers and sisters who have fallen asleep in the hope of the resurrection, and all who have died in your mercy. Welcome them into the light of your face. Have mercy on us all, we pray, that with the Blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of God, with Blessed Joseph, her spouse, with the blessed apostles and all the saints who have pleased you throughout the ages, we may merit to be co-heirs to eternal life and may praise and glorify you through your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him and with him and in him, O God, Almighty Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours forever and ever.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Christ taught us to call God our Father, and so at the Savior's command, and formed by divine teaching, we now dare to say, deliver us, Lord, we pray, from every evil. Graciously grant peace in our days, that by the help of your mercy we may be always free from sin and safe from all distress, as we await the blessed hope and the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus Christ, who said to your apostles, "Peace I leave you, my peace I give you," look not on our sins, but on the faith of your church, and graciously grant her peace and unity in accordance with your will, who live and reign forever and ever.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And with your spirit.
And now let us take a moment to offer each other the sign of peace.
Lamb of God, you take away the sins of the world. Have mercy, have mercy on us. Lamb of God, you take away the sins of the world. Have mercy, have mercy on us. Lamb of God, you take away the sins of the world. Grant us peace.
Behold the Lamb of God. Behold him who takes away the sins of the world. Blessed are those called to the supper of the Lamb.
Sanguine and pain.
Let us pray. Grant, O Lord, we pray, that we may delight for all eternity in that share in your divine life, which is foreshadowed in the present age by our reception of your precious body and blood, who live and reign forever and ever.
This Friday, June 12th, is the Solemnity of the Most Sacred Heart of Jesus. Join us for a special Mass at 6 p.m. at St. Alphonsus, followed by Adoration and Confession. All young adults in our parish family, ages 21 to 35, are invited to Young Adult Barbecue on Sunday, June 14th, at St. Alphonsus Convent. If you're mourning the loss of a loved one, please join our parish family grief support group. Information on days and times is in the bulletin. Our parish family barbecue is just 5 weeks away. July 12th at 12 p.m. at St. Alphonsus. Again, there's more information on the in the bulletin. And we are pleased to announce Parishioners Helping Parishioners Fund is now available to members of St. Benedict Parish who are facing financial difficulties. It provides emergency assistance and connection to additional resources. You can find more details in the bulletin. There's a special collection for San Martin de Porres Sandwich Making Ministry. For your donations, please use the envelopes in the pews. And then finally, we'll see you at Coffee and Donuts in the school cafeteria after Mass. Thank you.
So just to emphasize, on Friday, we are all invited to the solemnity of the Sacred Heart of Jesus at 6 p.m. And the bishops of the United States are consecrating the nation to this particular devotion, the Sacred Heart of Jesus. So looking forward to seeing you on Friday again. And now we'll do our American version of the procession. And as I said, it's a short procession just around the school block. When we come back for 2 minutes, we'll do benediction. That will be the conclusion to the liturgy for today. With that, please kneel for exposition.
sanctum ergo sacramento. Veneremur genui et anticum documentum novo cedat vitui. Restet fides supplementum sensum defectui. Genitori, genitoque, laus et jubilatio, salus honor virtus quoque, sit et benedictio, procedenti ab utroque, comparsit laudatio.
Let us pray. Our God, who in this wonderful sacrament have left us a memorial of your passion and death, grant us, we pray, so to revere these sacred mysteries of your body and blood, that we may always experience in ourselves the fruits of your redemption, who live and reign with God the Father in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever. Blessed be God.
Blessed be
His holy name.
Blessed be
Jesus Christ, true God and true man.
Blessed be
the name of Jesus.
Blessed be
His most sacred heart. Blessed be
His most precious blood.
Blessed be Jesus in the most holy sacrament of the altar.
Blessed be
the Holy Spirit, the Paraclete.
Blessed be
the Great Mother of God, Mary, most holy.
Blessed be
her holy and immaculate conception.
Blessed be
her glorious assumption.
Blessed be
the name of Mary, Virgin and Mother.
Blessed be
St. Joseph, her most chaste spouse.
Blessed
be God in his angels and in his saints.
Holy God, we praise thy name.
Call in heaven. I got a text from my wife.